There is some vivid imagery there, is there not? But the people that Jesus was speaking to would be very familiar with that idea. They were used to animal sacrifices. They knew the symbolism wrapped around everything that he was saying there. We'll have a little look about what that might mean for us now in a moment. But I was taken with a story in the news this week about Sir Keith Mills. Now, Sir Keith Mills was the creator and the developer of the very successful Air Miles initiative back in the 1990s. And apparently he's been approached by the government to try and see if there's a way of creating some form of incentive to the population of this nation that we might eat more sensibly, more healthily, and exercise more regularly. Now, I know, speaking out with some of you here this morning, you're as fit as butchers' dogs, all right, seeing you leaping up and around the place, up the fells and things. But there is a real need for that within our nation at this time. I don't think there can be many people who do not understand the maxim that what we eat matters. What we take in affects us in some way. It's been wonderful, hasn't it, watching the success of Team GB at the Olympics. I've really missed those morning catch-ups and seeing and getting excited about what has been achieved. But our athletes were successful because they trained hard, yes, but also they focused on what they consumed. Because what they took into their bodies, they knew mattered in order that they could be at their very best and perform at peak levels. Now, what is true for the body is actually true for the soul. What we take in affects our lives. What we see, what we choose to look at, what we hear and choose to listen to, what we read, our conversations, the company we keep, it all matters because it's all going in and affecting us in some way or another. And to this, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. We were looking at that last week, and this week he takes that conversation further because he says, I am the living bread. If you eat me, you will live. Without me, there is no life in you. He's ascribing himself to that thing to be consumed. The invitation is for us to take Jesus in and for it to make a difference when we do. It's a bold statement. It's a clear statement. It's an invitation. It's, if you like, an imploring. Take me in. And let's do things together. And St. Paul was saying the same thing in his letter to the church in Ephesus that we had read to us there. Talking about the importance of focusing on what we taking, what the church was consuming and listening to. King Solomon in Proverbs, King David in the Psalms, saying the same thing about let's take God into our lives. Let's get to know him. Let's pursue him. Let him affect us in positive ways. But what does that actually mean for us, I wonder, today? What does it mean for us to take Jesus in as the bread of life? I think essentially it's about trust. It's about trusting Jesus and about what he has to say to us, what he said about himself, about why he came. It's trusting his word. It's trusting his character and living our lives with him and through him and for him. Very few of us, I think, deliberately take food that we know is going to harm us in some way. Why would we? Most of you will have eaten already this morning. And if not, during the course of the day, you will be preparing food and taking food in. And you will be doing it on a trust basis. You will be trusting. And if you're sitting there and somebody else has prepared it, you might be trusting even some more that what they've prepared for you is healthy and it's going to be good for you as you take it in. That it will nourish and sustain and support and strengthen us. Now, sadly, I'm sure we've all had the experience where that's not been quite the case. I'm sure we've all at some time had like a dodgy burger or kebab or a dodgy pint or some peculiar prawns in a seafood salad that's affected us in some way. And usually the effect can be quite sudden and dramatic. The body says, don't like this, this is no good. But there are other occasions when what we are consuming and taking in can be much more kind of hidden, if you like, and pernicious. Unfortunately, many of us, as we get older, will suddenly discover that our cholesterol levels are a little bit higher than they ought to be, or that our arteries are a little bit fattier than they should be, because through our lifetime we've been taking stuff in that actually we should have been a bit more careful about. And it's affected us in a way. So many people can live their lives in a way where they are taking things in and it not benefiting them. With my theatre head on and my arts head on now, there's a wonderful play by the Scandinavian playwright August Strindberg. It's called The Ghost Sonata. And in it, a cook is employed by the masters of the household. She doesn't get on with them. And so she continues to serve this food up to them in the dining rooms above. And the food looks good. And the food smells good. And to all intents and purposes, it should be doing them good. But it is not. Because they do not know, but down in the kitchens below, she is boiling and boiling and boiling the food until every single piece of nutrition is extracted from it, and then she serves it to them. And they look at it and they think they're taking in good food, but they are withering and they are dying, and they don't know it. Now, I think many people are living lives like that today. That they are taking things in and living their lives in a way that they think is good for them and pursuing certain things, but it is empty of substance and it benefits them not in the long run. Jesus is saying, take me in. I am the bread of life. Take me in and let things be different. If we look at the news at the moment, just a couple of minutes. This is why I'm missing the Olympics, I think, because at least with the Olympics we had some cheer. We've had that dreadful news down from Plymouth. We've got incredibly desperate news coming from Afghanistan and Syria. We've got the troubles in Belarus and Eastern Europe. We've got everywhere you seem to look, it's like people are being sometimes forcibly fed things for their lives that are not doing them any good. Or they are at the hands of those who are feeding on things that are no good and then imposing it upon them. Jesus says, take me in. And like the psalmist was saying, those who seek the Lord will lack no good things. He says, if you take me in, I will satisfy those needs for you. But if I'm honest with you, I can say to you, there are times in my life where I've not done that fully. I've not done that completely and in a committed way. I think if you're honest with yourselves, you'll probably come alongside me and say, actually, yeah, I'm the same. Because we fail and we fall. See, there's a difference between being attached to Jesus and then being committed to Jesus. When you eat your Sunday lunch, I bet you commit yourselves to it. And you'll eat it all, probably. You won't take a carrot and have a little nibble around the side and say, well, I've attached myself to my Sunday lunch and now that's it. We take it all in. We commit to it. Far too often, we can be in a situation where we will want to have just enough of Jesus to keep us out of hell, but not enough of Jesus to make a difference to the world that we are living in. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Feed on me. Take me in. And let's change things. Let me change you. And through you, let's change the world. So let me leave you with this then. How can we do that? We can't do that until we're right. So it's the oxygen mask of self-preservation idea, isn't it? They always say, don't they, if there's an emergency in the airplane and the oxygen masks drop, don't try and help the person next to you until you've got yours on. Then you can help somebody else. You can't give away something you haven't got. So Jesus says, get me in your lives. Feed on me. Then we can step out. Like I said to the disciples, wait until. And so we step out. And we can make differences about the things that are coming at us, what we see, what we read, what we hear. We can make a difference. I encourage you. I love writing in when things upset me. Right, and Sarah will tell you that I get upset quite a bit sometimes. Right, I can be writing things in. If there is something on the television, on the radio, if there is something you read in a newspaper or magazine that offends you, why let it without challenging it? Why should that then go on to poison somebody else? Challenge it. Write to the BBC. Write to ITV. Write to the editors of the newspapers. I'll tell you this, every time they receive a comment or a complaint, it equates to tens of thousands of people. At one point, I think I remember reading that every time a complaint comes in, they say that that registers about 20-odd thousand people's views. Just from little old me. Right? And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Because we're meant to be salt and light of the earth. Take me in, says Jesus, because I'm the bread of life. Feed on me. Spend time with me. Read the word. Enjoy being in my presence in prayer. Enjoy coming together and learning from one another on the journey. Those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good.